أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. أما بعد، فإن أفضل الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، فإن أفضل الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان، فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم. ويقول الله تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. We all know all these ayat about Ramadan, and Ramadan is on the doorstep. It's in 2 weeks' time, inshallah. So we're there, nearly there. And we're all familiar with the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he says, أتاني جبريل فقال يا محمد من أدرك رمضان فلم يغفر له فأبعده الله فقلت آمين. ومن أدرك والدي أحدهما أو كلاهما فدخل النار فأبعده الله فقلت آمين. ومن ذكرت عنده فلم يصلي عليه فأبعده الله قل آمين فقلت آمين. اللهم صلي وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد. This is the very famous hadith that we all know, where it says that Jibreel, Angel Jibreel, told Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم that whoever reaches Ramadan and Ramadan passes by him and he has not had all his sins forgiven by the end of Ramadan, then he's a big loser. So we all know that Ramadan is a great opportunity. Ramadan is a chance to have all our sins forgotten, forgiven. And we all know about all these things about Ramadan, which we talk about every year. And I'm sure we're going to be talking a lot about it. However, today, I don't want to talk too much about Ramadan itself. But I'd like to invite you and invite myself to reflect on two ayahs in the Quran and see whether we can learn something from them, and whether we can apply what we learned during this month of Ramadan, which is a great opportunity, as I said. In Surah Al-Hadid, Allah says, أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنْ تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ وَلَا يَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِ فَطَالَ عَلَيْهُمُ الْأَمَدْ فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَكَثِيرًا مِّنْهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ. اعلموا أن الله يحيي الأرض بعد موتها قد بينا لكم الآيات لعلكم تعقلون. In this ayah in Surah Al-Hadid, Allah says, He's questioning people. He says, is it not time for those who believe that their hearts should feel the greatness of Allah? And when they hear Allah being mentioned, they feel something in their hearts. And when they hear the Quran, they feel something in their hearts. And they are not like those who were before us, the people of the book who came before us, where as time went on, their hearts became hard, their hearts became hardened, and a lot of them went in the wrong direction. And I'm afraid that this is probably the state of a lot of us, including myself, where as time goes on, our hearts just hardens as we become more and more involved with daily life, with the quick pace of life, with trying to achieve in life. We lose focus and our hearts gradually becomes hardened. I'd like to ask myself, and I'd like everyone to ask himself, honestly, when was the last time that you heard the surah of the Quran and you felt it touching your heart? When was the last time that you did dhikr or heard Quran and you saw tears coming out of your eyes? When was the last time that you felt that you are very close to Allah? If it's been a very long time, then I think there's a problem. And to be quite honest, I think we all have this problem. And I think that Ramadan is an excellent time to try and remedy this. Now, what is the cause of this? What is the cause of the hardness of the heart? Why is it that as time goes on, although we might still be praying 5 times a day, we might be doing our prayers in time, we might be listening to Quran, we might actually even be reading Quran, but it doesn't go past our lips. It doesn't touch our hearts. Yes, we say La ilaha illallah. But when was the last time that you said La ilaha illallah, really feeling it from the heart, not just coming out of your mouth? It is a problem. And Allah, that's why Allah has brought it to our attention. However, Allah gives us the glad tidings in the rest of the ayah, where He says, اعلموا أن الله يحيي الأرض بعد موتها. And it's interesting because that's why I'm saying if we just reflect a bit on the Quran, it says, ألم يأني الذين آمنوا أن تخشع قلوبهم لذكر الله. He's talking about this. Is it not time for those who believe to feel their hearts getting close to Allah? And then immediately after that he says, اعلموا, no, let it be known, أن الله يحيي الأرض بعد موتها, that Allah can bring life to earth, to the soil after it's dead. We all saw we all see the plants. It is especially in this time of the year. We see the dead plants coming back to life, the dead trees coming back to life, shoots coming out of them and flowering and getting leaves. So Allah reminds us that He does that to the plants and He can do it to our hearts. So this is a good time. It is a good time to bring our hearts back to life. Shahr Ramadan is a very good time. It's an opportunity. If we don't reflect on it, if we don't prepare for it, it's just going to be like everything else. We're all excited about Ramadan. First few days, great family gatherings, meals, so on and so forth. I'm very proud. I can fast, you know. I fast about 19 hours a day. Great. And then after the first few days, that's it. It's all gone. And we see it year after year after year. The first few days, the masjid is full of people who come to pray. Then after the third or fourth day, less and less. After the first week, only a few, handful coming. Why? Because it's just a tradition. It is not coming from the heart. Why? Because our hearts have hardened. Why? Because we don't reflect on it. Because we don't examine our hearts. Throughout the year, we know that every time you do a sin, there's a nukta, a black spot goes into the heart. And then black spots come and collect and collect and collect until the Allah tells us, كَلَّا بَرَّانَ عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ. The heart becomes covered in all this. And then nothing touches the heart. This is the hardness of the heart. However, Allah says that this can be, it's a reversible process. We can reverse that. The simplest thing is istighfar. The simplest thing is tawbah. If we do that, then you're opening the door. You're starting to look inside. So, for the month of Ramadan, it's a good chance to dive inside, look at the heart, start cleaning it, going into all the corners, and give it a good cleanup. So that inshallah, by the middle or by the end of Ramadan, our hearts are alive again. And we will be again affected when we listen to Quran, or listen to Allah being mentioned. And again, we can feel Allah being with us, close to us. We need Allah a lot, especially these days, where the Ummah is going through all these hard times. So anyhow, because of the restraints of time, I'm not going to go too much about that, but hopefully we can discuss this in more detail if you want during the month of Ramadan, and maybe we can examine how we can go, you know, together to try and examine our hearts and try to clean up our hearts. So that, as I said, by the end of Ramadan, it would be a special Ramadan. It wouldn't just be like every Ramadan where the rituals are followed, but we don't actually use it to clean up the heart. Now, the second surah in the Quran, the second ayah, which I'd like to share with you, and let's reflect a bit on it, where Allah says, مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْعَاجِلَةَ عَجَّلْنَا لَهُ فِيهَا مَا نَشَاءُ لِمَنْ نُرِيدُ ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَا لَهُ جَهَنَّمَ يَصْلَاهَا مَذْمُومًا مَدْحُورًا وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةِ وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَأُولَئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُمْ مَشْكُورًا كُلًّا نُمِدُّ هَؤُلَاءِ وَهَؤُلَاءِ مِنْ عَطَاءِ رَبِّكَ وَمَا كَانَ عَطَاءُ رَبِّكَ مَحْظُورًا انظُرْ كَيْفَ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ وَلَلْآخِرَةِ أَكْبَرُ دَرَجَاتٍ وَأَكْبَرُ تَفْضِيلًا. This surah talks about a very important concept, which is the concept of choice. مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْعَاجِلَةِ عَجَّلْنَا لَهُ فِيهَا. Whoever wants al-ajila, whoever wants life, whoever wants this life, we give it to him. But we give him مَا نَشَاءُ لِمَنْ نُرِيدُ. Allah gives only what he wants to whoever he chooses. And dunya is given to everybody, to the believers and to the disbelievers, to the believers and to the unbelievers. Because Allah has got a lot of ata, a lot of giving. There is ata al-rububiyyah and ata al-uluhiyyah. Ata al-rububiyyah is what Allah gives to everybody, including the non-believers. But ata al-uluhiyyah is given only to the believers. Inna Allah yu'ti al-dunya wal-dunya lil-mu'minin wal-kafir. Allah gives the world to everybody. Believers, because they are all the creations of Allah. So He gives them what they want. However, what happens after that? ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَا لَهُ جَهَنَّمَ يَصْلَاهَا مَذْمُومًا مَدْحُورًا. But what does he get after that? He gets hellfire. If this is all what he concentrates on, or she concentrates on in her lifetime. All that she needs in life is just life. I want life, I want success, I want a car, I want a house. These are all great things. By the way, they are not wrong things, because Sahaba used to have all these things, according to their times, of course. So there's nothing wrong with worldly possessions. There's nothing wrong with being successful in life. There's nothing wrong with trying to achieve in life. There's nothing wrong with wanting all these things, but they should not occupy your heart. They should not be the only thing that you worry about. Because then you fall into this category, مَنْ كَانَ يَرِيدُ الْعَاجِلَةِ. And Allah will give it to you. However, the second part of the ayah says, وَمَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْآخِرَةِ وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةِ. And whoever wants the hereafter. But it doesn't say, أَعْطَيْنَاهَ لَهُ, we'll give it to him. It says, وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ. Two prerequisites. If you want the hereafter, there are two things. A, you must be a believer. And B, you must work towards it. وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ. فَأُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُمْ مَشْكُورًا. And if we reflect a bit on the ayah here, we see how, you know, it's something that cannot be described. How do you, Allah tells us that if you thank Allah, if you thank Allah, you say, Alhamdulillah, Allah will give you more. So by thanking, by doing shukr, Allah gives you more. When you do the shukr. In this ayah, He doesn't say you do the shukr. He says, أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُمْ مَشْكُورًا. Allah is going to be the one who does the shukr. Can you imagine what is the shukr of Allah? Nobody can imagine that. It is beyond imagination. So it is such a great thing to achieve. So this ayah here, if we think about it carefully, it establishes an important thing. There is, Allah has given us the freedom of choice. If you want this word, fine, He'll give it to you. If you want al-akhirah, fine, He'll give it to you. But if you want al-akhirah, you must have two things. One is belief, and two is work towards it. So, on this basis, I think it might be a good opportunity, as I said in Ramadan, to make the decision. Make the decision now that you are going to be choosing al-akhirah. Make the decision now that you're going to walk the path of Allah. Make the decision now that you want this. Make the decision now that you want to achieve it. Now, if you make this decision, then the next step is going to be two things. One, examine your iman, because Allah says there are two prerequisites. You have to have the iman. So examine your iman. And the place of the iman is in the heart. So you need to examine your heart. You need to clear your heart. You need to make sure that your iman is proper. If you've got the proper iman, now set yourself a target, set yourself a plan. How are you going to achieve this? How are you going to walk the path of Allah? Now, I'm sure that quite often we hear this. We say, fine, yes, it's a great idea, maybe I should do that. But then we walk out of there and you think, what's my next appointment? What do I have to do this afternoon? What's happening tomorrow? I need to go shopping. The family needs that. I need to do this. And we just get involved in life again and we forget about it. So I invite you all and invite myself before you to take this opportunity to set a plan. Make this Ramadan a special Ramadan that counts. Let's have a plan. Let's have a clear plan. What are the steps are we going to take? How are we going to achieve it? How are we going to end up, inshallah, by the end of Ramadan, if Allah gives us life to live until the end of Ramadan? How is it that by the end of Ramadan, A, we're going to have ghufran, we're going to have all our sins forgiven. B, how are we going to ensure that we are on the right track, so that we are walking the right path, we are walking the straight path, as-sirat al-mustaqim, so that we do not divert again, so that we don't get distracted by life again. It needs plan, it needs work. And Allah tells us here, man kana yurid, al-irada, the concept of wanting, the concept of choice. You have the choice, I have the choice. So let's make this choice. Let's make this Ramadan a very special Ramadan. Let's make this Ramadan one that counts. Now, I know it's not easy. I know that we all know the hadith of إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتُ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى, that if you have the right intention, this is what counts, and so on and so forth. This is true. But if you make the right intention, Allah knows what, who is really got a proper intention and who doesn't have the real intention. So have the intention first, but then what is, how do you prove that my intention is genuine? You prove it by action. So it's not just by intention. It's not just that, look, I want to achieve that. I want Allah to forgive me. I want to be able to achieve a special Ramadan. What are you going to do? So, as I said, I invite myself and invite you to please make a plan now. Don't postpone it, because this is how the shaitan comes into it. The shaitan will play with our minds and tell us, you know what? Okay, still 2 weeks. Why don't you do that tomorrow? Or, you know what, next weekend. Or just before Ramadan, first day of Ramadan. He will play with our minds. He will not allow us. If he sees a genuine interest, if he sees that we have made a decision to get out of his hands and fall back into the straight path, he's not going to leave us alone. He's going to play with our minds. He's going to try and delay us. He's going to play every single game that's in the book that we all know about. However, I also want to reflect on one more thing in this ayah, which is quite interesting. Allah says, كُلَّا نُمِدُّ هَؤُلَاءِ وَهَؤُلَاءِ مِنْ عَطَاءِ رَبِّكَ وَمَا كَانَ عَطَاءُ رَبِّكَ مَحْذُورًا. We give these and we give these from, Allah gives everybody in life. And you see that people are in different positions. People are in different grades. There's the rich, there's the poor, there's the educated, there's the ignorant, there's the healthy, there's the unhealthy. So, because this is one of the questions that we always get asked, and I'm sure shaitan also plays with our minds and asks, you know, why is that? Why is Allah, if Allah really exists, why is He unfair? Why does He give somebody more than the other? It is because Allah wants us all to need each other. So, I could be a doctor, so if you are ill, you need me to help you. You could be a plumber. If I've got leakage in my house, I need you. If we all knew everything, we won't need each other, so there wouldn't be interaction. But the most important thing that I think we should take from this ayah is that everybody, because Allah is adil, Allah is fair, everybody as a whole equals everybody else as a whole. So if you look at somebody and you feel, ah, he's inferior to me, he's inferior in one thing, but he's superior in another. So when you see somebody who's inferior to you, don't think, I'm better than him. Think, what's he better than me in? Because Allah would have given him something that's better than you. This is just a taster of the sort of things that we can do to get our hearts back onto the right path. And inshallah, if Allah gives us the time, and if Allah gives us the energy, and if Allah allows us to, and gives us life, we might be able to discuss that a bit more during Ramadan, so that we reflect more in His ayat, and reflect more on His Quran. And hopefully, as I said, make this a very special Ramadan. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له الملك الحق المبين وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. So dear brothers and sisters, as I said, please let's make this Ramadan a very special one. Let's make it a very special, a turning point, a milestone in our lives. We don't know how many we will have in our life. We don't even know if we're going to be alive this Ramadan. We don't know if we're going to reach Ramadan. We don't know if Allah is going to allow us to fast it or not. So if we do, if He does, please make it a special one. The important thing is make the intention now. Because if you make the intention now, today, this moment, and for any reason, you can't fast or you're not alive, or Allah decides that it's time to go, you will take the same thawab. Because you have made the right intention. So don't postpone. Make the intention today. Set your plan today. Now, as I said, hopefully, inshallah, if we have time during Ramadan, we're going to discuss a lot of things about the ways to achieve it. But let me remind you of the hadith, the long hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was sitting with the Sahaba and Jibreel came in and he sat, put his knees in front of his knees, and he said, Ya Muhammad, hadithni an al-Iman, Ya Muhammad, hadithni an al-Islam, Ya Muhammad, hadithni an al-Ihsan. And he asked him about Iman and Islam and Ihsan. And we all know about this hadith, so I'm not going to go through it. And as I said, it's important that we ponder on it because we want to review our Iman and we want to review our Islam before Ramadan. We want to review whether we are really actually doing the right things. However, I think, as I said, this Ramadan make it a special one. Because usually we just concentrate on Iman. Do I believe? Alhamdulillah, yes, I believe. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Am I a Muslim? Yes, alhamdulillah. I pray 5 times, I do my zakah, I fast Ramadan. However, we forget about the third part, which is Ihsan, the level above. Why don't we take it to the level above? Don't you want Allah to be with you? Inna Allaha yuhibbul muhsin. Don't you want Allah to love you? So, there are a lot of things to achieve Ihsan. However, I'm going to just make some suggestions that you might think about that you might want to do as a plan for Ramadan. So, why don't you, for example, make a plan, how much Quran are you going to read during this Ramadan? Are you going to read the whole Quran during Ramadan? And if you are going to read it all, are you going to read it once, twice? However, how are you going to achieve that? If you don't make a plan, Ramadan will pass and you haven't read any of the Quran. So, one thing is to set a plan, make a timetable. How much am I going to read every day and how am I going to achieve it? There are many ways of doing it, and as I said, maybe you can discuss this further, inshallah, during Ramadan, how to set a timetable so that you can finish the Quran once. As a matter of fact, it's very easy to read it once every 10 days if you just set it in the right order. The other thing is dhikr. We know that there is dhikr al-qalb, dhikr al-lisan, with dhikr al-qalb. There is a lot of dhikr. How are you going to do dhikr during Ramadan? Set a plan. There is adhkar al-sabah, there is adhkar al-masa', there is dhikr during the day. There is dhikr while you're driving your car, there is dhikr while you're walking. Why don't you set a plan? Remember, put something to remind you. While I'm walking anyway. I've got 5 minutes, I can do dhikr, I can do subhanallah 100 times. I can do astaghfirullah 100 times. A lot of dhikr, so that all the time you're doing dhikr, at least with your tongue and hopefully also with your heart. Another thing that we can do in Ramadan is salat al-rahim. Why don't you make a plan? Why don't you set a list of your relatives that you haven't spoken to or you have spoken to? Set a list of your relatives. So every day you will phone 1 or 2 relatives of yours with the intention of salat al-rahim, so that by the end of Ramadan you have phoned maybe, 20, 30 of your relatives? And all this with the intention of salat al-rahim. And you take a huge sawab into Allah. And it's very simple. It doesn't cost anything. Especially with the modern technology and the means of communication. So why don't you set up a list? But do the list. Don't let shaitan tell you, yes, okay, fine, I'll do that. You'll do it first day. Second day, and then you'll forget. Make a list. Put the list in front of you and tick it every day. Just another example. Further example of what you can do, especially in Ramadan, to make it a special Ramadan, is helping those in need. Why don't you identify what are your strong points? If your strong point is money, if you have money, why don't you make a decision that, I'm going to be helping people by giving them money. If you don't have money but you're a strong young man, why don't you find out who are the you know, weaker people, elderly people around you who might need some help, and go and volunteer to give them some help with the intention of giving from what Allah has given you. So make a list of that as well. That's a possibility. Another thing is sadaqat. A lot of people give their zakah during Ramadan. But why just stay, why stop at the 2.5% of your zakah? Why don't extend that a little bit? Find out if there are people, I mean, we know that there are millions and millions of people who are suffering throughout the world. So if there aren't enough people around you who need, help other people elsewhere. And then one of the other things that you can do, which you don't usually do, is al-i'tikaf. Al-i'tikaf is one of the great forms of worship that we don't usually do. And we always think i'tikaf means I have to go to the mosque and stay in the mosque for a week. No, it is not. Al-i'tikaf can be for 5 minutes. It's all about intention. So if you're going to pray Maghrib, for example, and we know that now this the time between Maghrib and Aisha is very short. If you're going to pray Maghrib, why don't you make the intention, I'm going to do i'tikaf from Maghrib till Aisha? Or if you're going to the mosque anyway, waiting for Taraweeh, why don't you make an intention, I'm going to do i'tikaf until Taraweeh prayer? So it is the intention that counts. So a lot of things that we can make count, but it's just being aware of it. And if we're aware of it, is to make a list and have the intention to make it count. So anyway, it's a big subject. There are many things that can be done and can be said. Inshallah, if Allah gives us the time and gives us the will to do it, inshallah, we will be going through all these stages. And just to give you a taste of taking the right path to Allah, the first stage, the first step in taking the right path to Allah is a tawbah. Because Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ. التَّوَّابِين, not doing the tawbah only once, but doing it repeatedly. So why don't we start by adding this to our daily rituals? Do tawbah every day. Insha'Allah, if you do that, and you do it from the heart, Allah will accept it, and all your sins are forgotten, and Allah will love you, because Allah, in Allah, يحب التوابين, the ones who do it repeatedly. Just as a taster, this is a simple thing that you can do, and this is the first step if you decide to walk the path towards Allah during this Ramadan. Allahumma balighna Ramadan. Allahumma balighna Ramadan. اللهم بلغنا رمضان اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك وأغننا بفضلك عمن سواك اللهم ارحمنا بترك المعاصي أبدا ما أحييتنا وارحمنا بترك ما لا يعنينا وارزقنا حسن النظر فيما يرضيك عنا اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم اجعل جمعنا هذا جمعا مرحوما واجعل تفرقنا من بعده تفرقا معصوما ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وأدخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله يذكركم واستغفروه يغفر لكم وأقم الصلاة يرحمك الله